by the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Cairo Nights. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I feel like Kevin wanted to start the show off with a different song, though. Not that we don't all love Elvis Costello and Radio Radio. What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Rest in peace, Tina Turner, 83 years old. I do want to take a little bit of contention with the news report from CBS that began the hour saying that it was the shocking death of Tina Turner. Anybody who's followed her at all knows that she's been suffering from several ailments, including cancer. So it was not shocking. And honestly, I think that at 83, that's not like I'm excited about it or happy about it. In fact, I'm pretty sad about it today. But I just don't think that we need to say somebody at 83 dying is shocking. But some things you may not have known about Tina Turner, and I'm going to throw these out there because I was a fan of hers, and I actually didn't know these things. She picked the name Tina because she loved the comic book character Sheena, and she thought that that was close enough to the name. She was the first black woman on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, which is kind of shocking. You would think maybe Aretha Franklin, but nope. She beat Aretha.
That's awesome.
Rolling Stone and the front cover. She began her solo career when she was in her 40s, which everybody predicted, and this is what I love about her, everybody predicted it would be a total flop and a failure. I mean, Ike obviously was like, without me, you're nothing. And I think that kind of only drove her further to have even bigger success. Because when you think of her hits, maybe I'm wrong, but I think more of her solo stuff than I do her stuff with Ike.
Absolutely.
I mean, Proud Mary, certainly, even though it's a CCR song. Mountain High, River Deep, I guess. But most of her great songs were solo songs. What's Love Got to Do with It? Simply the Best. Even the Thunderdome song.
Yeah, was Ike in Mad Max? I don't think so.
I don't think so. He wouldn't have lasted a second. She set the Guinness World Record for most people to attend a show for a solo performer in 1986.
That is awesome.
When she had 180,000 people in Rio.
I think that
record
Rio,
has been
dude.
Broken. I think that record has been broken since, but it's still amazing that she set it for a solo, not a female solo performer, just any solo performer. So like any of the Beatles, anybody could not touch that record. And I guess, sadly, this is almost ironic, really. This is how abusive Ike Turner was. During the recording of Mountain High, River Deep with Phil Spector, famous producer and now I guess infamous producer, but one of the
also maniac,
yeah, an absolute lunatic and murderer. I mean, it's fair to say that now. He apparently, Phil Spector, was upset by how controlling Ike was and just his general abusive attitude towards Tina in the studio. So he came up with this weird contract for the album. He made it so that the album and single would be credited to Ike and Tina Turner, but Ike was paid $20,000 to stay away from the studio with only Tina's vocals being used on the record. So if you hear that record, especially Mountain High, River Deep, it's only Tina singing on it because Ike was paid $20,000 by a man who would later go on to murder a woman. Paid him to stay away from the studio because he was that abusive. And I guess that dovetails into the last fact that I want to share about her. And it was something that I was sad to find out about Tina Turner. It was this quote from her documentary, she said about her life, it wasn't a good life. The good did not balance the bad. I had an abusive life. There's no other way to tell the story. It's a reality. It's the truth. That's what you've got, so you have to accept it. Now, that is shockingly bleak, I feel. But I also kind of feel like there's two ways to read that. There's two ways to interpret that. The first way, the bleak way, the pessimistic way, is her saying, my life was miserable, and despite my success, I wasn't happy, because success, it doesn't make you happy. Success doesn't help you. Which is a bleak interpretation of it for most of us, because we look at somebody like Tina Turner and are like, if she couldn't be happy, what chance do we have? I think that's why so many people, when a rock star, we find out that they're depressed or they've committed suicide, or an actor going down the same path, famous actor is depressed or suicide. I mean, I found out Owen Wilson tried to kill himself at one point. When you find out that somebody who's experiencing so much fame and success is still miserable, it's disheartening, because I feel like as Americans in a modern society, we look at famous and successful people and go, oh, if I was them, I'd be happy. If I was them, all my problems would go away. And then you hear somebody like Tina Turner, who's had so much success, had so much fame, say that it didn't balance out how abusive things were for her. The positive interpretation of it is this. Her saying that it wasn't a good life, the good didn't balance out the bad. The positive interpretation is, yeah, my life wasn't good. A lot of bad things happened to me, and I'm not going to lie about that, but I've accepted that this was the life handed to me, and I'm okay with that. That it's a phrase of acceptance, which I think is overall positive, and I think that maybe that's the most stable pathway to happiness and enlightenment is acceptance. Because I think so many of us, and I include myself in that, have such a hard time accepting difficulty in our life, because we're like, why? How much more am I supposed to take? I try my best. I'm a good dad. I'm a good husband. I work hard. And you're still going to take things from me? That sucks. But if we can accept that that's just the way things are sometimes, you can just live in the moment, live in the present, then you can stay positive. And that's how you can stay happy. Another sad thing about Tina Turner, I found out from her documentary, was this. She regretted, to an extent, writing her memoir, I, Tina, which was later turned into the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It. She said because she just wanted to write her memoir and hoped that that would purge all of the negative feelings and emotions that she had about her relationship with Ike. And instead, it made her this kind of champion of victims, which I don't think she had a problem with being considered somebody who rose above it all. But she said one of the problems was then everywhere she went, women were telling her about their abusive relationships and their awful experiences. And she's like, it's just too much for one person to take. So she started to withdraw from interviews, and she started to withdraw from the public, because she's just like, I can't take it anymore. We're going to talk a little bit more about her.
That would be a lot to take on. That would be a lot of heaviness every night, I can only imagine.
Every day. Just imagine people coming up to you and going, oh, man, I read your book and I saw your movie, and, you know, my husband used to rape and beat me too, and, you know, or my mother abandoned me or whatever. because she had so many awful things happen to her. You think like, oh, it's nice to commiserate, but at the same time, you would have to be like, look, I cannot be the psychologist for the world. It is exhausting. And again, if Tina couldn't do it, then I don't think any of us could. Moving on, let's talk about something maybe a little bit more upbeat, or at least not about death, unless we're talking about the death of the American dream. There's a great story up by Heather Bosch on MyNorthwest.com titled, "More Americans Are Turning to a Side Hustle Out of Necessity." Kevin, do you find anything true in that statement?
Sorry, I was queuing up the next segment. What's going on?
A better thing would have been if you said, I'm delivering Uber Eats right now. I'm sorry, Jonathan. I'll be back at the station in a minute. More Americans are turning to a side hustle out of necessity.
This is my side hustle. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I have so many side hustles. I don't know what my main hustle is now. You can't even keep track of it. Just tell me where to be and I'll be there.
But remember, millennials and Gen Z, just not hard workers. They just don't know the value of a hard day's work at a job that you got, you know, right after high school that you just walked into without a college degree that had a pension and set you up for the rest of your life. But here's what Heather writes in this article. Younger generations, including 53% of Gen Z, which is 18 to 26, and 50% of millennials, 27 to 42, are more likely than their older counterparts to have a side hustle. Only 40% of Gen X and 24% of boomers have side hustles. She quotes somebody, even though almost everyone who wants a job has one, and even though most people have gotten a raise over the last year or two, it hasn't been enough to keep pace with rising costs in other parts of their life, says Rossman. We've seen housing costs go up tremendously. We've seen costs for food and gas and education and medical care, and just about everything goes up. Increasingly, a side hustle is no longer just a passion project or a way to get cash for a special night out. It's becoming a necessity. Bankrate survey found that 33% of people say they're using their side hustle to just pay for regular living expenses. You know, I was reading this and knowing some people in the audience and just people in general and the way they are. So people will scoff at the idea that people, Gen Z and millennials, have these side hustles to pay for essentials. Oh, I didn't need a side hustle to pay for my essentials. That's because these kids are spending $10 on coffee every morning. It's because they're got 15 streaming services. Yeah, they're blowing all their money on Pokebox cards and Vidya games and all this stuff that's useless and pointless. They don't need it. But they're wasting all their money on it anyway. So I decided to do a little experiment. I went into my budget, which I keep a very meticulous budget for all of my expenses. And I got rid of all of my essentials. I'm sorry. I reversed that. I got rid of all of my non-essentials. So I was just left with rent, utilities, electricity, water, heating. And I even debated, is a car essential? Well, for me, it is. Because I have kids and I need to make sure I can take them places that they need to go. And food.
That's overrated.
Children or food?
Both.
Yeah, I agree. Or feeding children, really. I mean, can't they just be like me and go steal food from 7-Eleven? Not that I ever did that. So anyway, I looked at that and I thought, what would happen if I cut out every non-essential thing? It's going over my budget. I did that. I cut out every non-essential thing. I cut out every streaming service, every subscription, my second car. I pared my phone down to a flip phone until all that was left was rent, utilities, one car, insurance for that car, health insurance, because I pay for my own health insurance. And it saved me a whopping 12% on my monthly bills. And I don't think that I'm atypical here. It is not the amount of streaming services. It's not the fact that we have to have smartphones. It's not the fact that we're going out to eat all the time, or even that we are going out to eat all the time. It's that everything has become so much more expensive. And it's also tougher to get a job now that will just pay you one flat rate that you can live off of. That's why, not calling him out, but it's true. I think maybe somebody like Kevin needs to have seven jobs.
Sorry, what was that? I was doing my other jobs.
You were loading harps onto a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened. It's harder and harder to get those jobs. You can't just walk out of high school and go to a factory and get a job anymore. Those things do not exist. And by the way, anybody who's like, well, 12% is still significant. Yeah, it's not insignificant, but it isn't enough to justify the attitude that most of our bills are just streaming services and coffee, which I, by the way, don't even drink.
Yeah, he's a tea guy.
So text in right now, 888-973-KIRO, 888-973-KIRO. You can just text those letters right now. What are your side hustles? What are some side hustles that you have?
Dealing with you.
That is a side hustle, and not a very lucrative one, that's for sure. Or at least it doesn't pay as much as it should. I don't know what you get paid, but I'm sure it's not enough.
Thanks. You suck.
I was complimenting you. You know what? They shouldn't pay you anything.
Thanks.
I'm surprised you're just not an intern pushing buttons over there.
Toxic,
so what are
John.
Your side hustles? What do you do for money on the side? 888-973-5476. I'm not above side hustles, by the way. I delivered for Uber Eats when I was getting paid. I had money. But I was just like, I want to see what it's like. And you know what I did? I delivered for Uber Eats every weekend for like 3 months. And you know what happened? I hated it. But I gained a new appreciation for people who drive for Uber Eats. 888-973-5476. What's your side hustle? We'll talk about them. Coming up, answering your text on KIRO Nights next. KIRO Nights. My name's Jonathan Weir. How you doing, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Real quick, before we get to your side hustle texts, I just want to bring you some breaking news from the world of football. The Patriots are losing 2 days of voluntary organized team activities due to a violation of off-season rules per league sources. That explains why the team's announcement about Thursday's practice being called off happened, and also another practice that they're going to have next week has been taken away. Oh yeah, I know you don't probably care that much about the Patriots. I just think it's funny that the season hasn't even started yet, and the Patriots are cheating. The season hasn't—it's not even close to starting. It's May. It doesn't start for 4 more months. And they're already cheating, which, knowing Boston sports fans, which I do know far too many of them, they're probably excited about it. So they're like, oh, they're cheating again. We haven't cheated for years. And look at the results. We sucked. Maybe we'll be cheating like Brady's in his fourth year. Or his first year. All right, moving on. You guys texted in with your best side hustles at 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-CHIRO. And here were some of the ones that we got. Somebody said, I wrap my car for an advertiser. Meaning I put a wrap all around the car for an advertiser. You can go online and sign up for a service that does this. It pays $100 a month, they say. Which... they also say covers my gas and insurance. No, it doesn't. Unless you drive an electric car. That ain't even paying for half your gas in Seattle. Unless you have a commute of the end of your driveway. Maybe that's where your commute's at. Maybe insurance. But again, the two of them? I don't know. Is my car's dignity worth $100 a month? I'm not saying my dignity, because that's obviously for sale and whatever, right? My car has more to lose than me at this point.
True.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think so. I'll ask you that, Kevin, since you know the area a lot better than me. Do you think $100 pays for gas and insurance in Seattle?
How long? What are you talking about? Gas for the month?
$100 a month, they say they get, and they say that pays for their gas and insurance.
Wait, no, that's like
no
a third.
That's not
what
much.
I mean, how, yeah. What, I mean, there's some,
what,
where are they driving to for work? Like, do they drive like a
well,
block?
They wrap their car in an advertisement and that pays them $100 a month.
Okay.
But unless that's adding a lot of,
I missed half this story,
car,
dude. I was grinding water.
I know
water.
You did, buddy. You're good. You're good. You can't, Kevin can't leave during the break, so he has to leave at the beginning of the segments, which is fine. But yeah, unless it makes your car into a hybrid or an electric car, there's no way that's saving you that much money. That's crazy. Texter said, I do mom stuff that moms don't have the time to do, like make goodie bags for class parties, wrap Christmas gifts, teacher appreciation gifts, homemade Halloween costumes, science fair projects. Just about everything is related to school in some way. They say they make $100 a week on average, and sometimes during busy seasons, they'll make $900 a week. That's actually kind of nice, I guess.
Nice.
And I know there's some people out there who'll be like, oh, the mom should be doing it. Yeah, maybe mom doesn't have time because she herself has a side hustle. You met modern moms? They don't have a lot of time off for all the crap that they have to do for their kids. Another texter says, my side hustle is freelance voiceover work.
I do that too.
Do you?
Yeah. That's one of my, I haven't gotten much work lately, so maybe we could ask that person what's their tips and tricks. I worked for a little bit and here and there, but, you know, it's more famine than feast these days.
Well, yeah, because AI is replacing you. I mean, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I had a very good friend in Kansas City, Tom Kane, and he was
Kane.
Yeah, he was a voiceover artist. Does the voice of Yoda in all the new Star Wars stuff, and made a lot of money. But I think that he's like the highest echelon of freelance voiceover work artists that you can. Yeah. Somebody said, I am a referee for gay football games. Do you get paid more if they're...
Me too. I just don't get paid for it.
I'm just a spectator mostly. Do you get paid more? Like, why is it they have to be gay football games? Or are you using it as a... I don't know. As a pejorative? Like, gay...
Is it gays only league? I mean...
Maybe.
Pride?
Maybe.
Months
well, just
up,
wait.
You know?
Just wait until the Tommy Lahrens and the Fox Newses of the world get wind of this.
What is this? Woke football?
Somebody Woke says they ball. Do arbitrage on Amazon, and I had to look up what this is. It's apparently where you just buy stuff and then resell it on Amazon. So you buy it for a certain price, usually cheaper, obviously, than you're going to sell it for, and then you resell it, hoping to make some cash. They say they make $40,000 a year off of that.
That's nice. Not a hustle. That's a grift.
I mean, it's legal.
Same thing.
Yeah, I guess. All right, that's enough side hustles for you people. You know what? The big local story today, because we didn't have a ton of big local stories today, but that guy stealing the mail, I find that hilarious.
Also a side hustle.
I mean, it's wrong. That's his side hustle, is stealing credit cards out of the mail. I think that we need to redo mail. I think that we need to do mail the same way we do email, where I can just have a shredder out by the curb, and if it's anything I don't need, which is 95% of the stuff that gets mailed to me, I do not need, you can just put it right into the shredder. Maybe if I need to economize, I'll just have a burning trash can out there that you can toss the stuff into. You know? But I can't honestly remember the last thing I got in the mail that I was like, oh, thank God they mailed this. And then, like, the mail I do need, you could have, like, a lock on it, on the mailbox. I think that would be good. I think that'd be good. Or you could just send it through UPS, because that stuff doesn't get stolen so long as they ring the doorbell on time. They're giving me, like, 3 seconds to come down and get it. I'm not implying the UPS drivers are stealing it. I'm just saying that it just goes missing. We'll be back with more on Chiron Nights. Enjoy this little song by Ike and Tina for the next 15 seconds or so.
Listen to the story. Left a good job out in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost 1 minute of sleep. And I was worried about the way that things might have been. You know that big wheel keep on turning. Primary keep on burning.
Chironites. We're playing Tina Turner.
Sexy sax. Music.
In recognition of the passing of a great artist and performer. R.I.P. Tina Turner. We'll be talking about her a little bit more in the music news in about 30, 40 minutes or so. It's kind of a serious topic, so yeah, just whatever. Bear with me on this. Big story today that Target is removing some merchandise celebrating Pride Month from store shelves after facing a backlash against the products, including threats against the safety of their workers. Reuters reported that the company is removing from stores and its website products created by the LGBTQ brand Abprolin, which offers some products featuring spooky gothic imagery such as skulls and Satan in pastel colors. Conservative activists and media have also bashed Target in recent days for selling what they call, quote, tuck-friendly women's swimsuits that allow some trans women to hide their genitalia. Target has only been selling tuck-friendly swimsuits made for adults and not contrary to false online rumors for kids or in kid sizes. Okay, I just need to say, I don't go into stores looking for reasons to be angry. Am I alone in this? I don't go into Target looking for reasons to be upset. I don't go into Walmart going like, oh, what do they have on the shelf? They're selling it. Damn Tucker Carlson book in here, are they? Oh, I'm not shopping here anymore. I don't care. I go there for specific needs and purposes. That's it. But these people are, these lunatics are freaking out. They're grooming our kids. They're grooming our children is what they're doing. That's what they're all yelling on social media. What does it even mean? They're grooming our kids with these this clothing, this apparel line. What do you think the grooming is? Oh, I get it. You think that being gay is a choice. You still think that. Like, you're worried that your kid is going to walk into a store and see a rainbow and go, hey, I like men now. That's how it works. Well, I can ease your mind on that. There are a lot of scientific studies I could link you to that show you that being gay is genetic, that there are genetic components consistent with male orientation specifically. But I lost you at the word scientific, so I know you don't care. People are mad on both sides about this. People are obviously incensed on the right because, oh my God, they're selling apparel that has a rainbow on it.
Not the Target.
At the Target. Let's make Target the Target. People are mad at Target on the left, too, for giving in. And I don't get any money from Target. I don't even shop there very regularly. But I get why Target did this. Their workers were being threatened. And people are like, oh, they're just giving in to terrorists? Yeah, they're a department store, not the U.S. military. Their workers didn't sign up to be on the front lines of the Karen Civil War.
You know that, like, sir, this is a Wendy's? You got to go,
yes!
Sir, this is a Target.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the guy might be, you know, packing.
Exactly.
Because they're sending in death threats. These people didn't sign up to be cabins being crushed by an avalanche of snowflakes. They're just workers at a Target. And I would argue, if you're so worried about your children being corrupted by a picture of the devil, a goofy little cartoon version of the devil on t-shirts, then I guess you have to get rid of Red Hots. I guess they can't sell Red Devil vacuums.
Now you're at
Target anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
Are banned from the NHL.
Maybe if you were a better parent, your precious little diaper filler wouldn't be so easily turned to the dark side. Just a thought. Because I don't worry about that with my kids. They're already there. They're already Satanist. Just all sorts of incantations and blood ceremonies at my house. That's right. Well, not anymore. Called in an exorcist. Next on Chiron Nights, I don't know, something else. Here's some more details.